Today's lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. And you can find it in the Church Bibles on page 1203. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing souls and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Anne. So there is some colouring. If you want to do colouring whilst I'm speaking, you'll notice it's creation themed on the outside, and then we've got one of the verses that Anne just read to us in the middle. And if you listen along or keep one ear listening along, hopefully it will make sense how creation and God's word come together. So let's pray as we think about these verses this morning. And the pencils are just here for the colouring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, for the written word, the Bible, and for the living word, the Lord Jesus. I ask that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Minister to our hearts. Speak your truths to our hearts, I pray, for your glory's sake. Amen. So today, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're observing for the first time what's been called the Festival of Creation in Christ. It is the work of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, who creates, sustains and renews. So that's why it's creation in Christ. We're shortly going to be starting a new sermon series on the book of Colossians, a letter written by Paul to encourage the church in Colossae. I think that's coming up from the 20th of September. And in that letter, we will hear how the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one through whom all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, and in whom all things hold together. It is the person and work of Jesus Christ which creates, sustains, and renews. And then at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we have a vision of a new heaven and a new earth, that's chapter 21, of God's new creation, God's re-creation. Heaven coming down and transforming the earth. God coming to dwell with his people. The end of death and mourning, crying and pain. Christ on the throne. And all things being made new. That sounds very good to me. How is creation created, sustained, and renewed? Through Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God. Creation is created through Christ. Christ was with God in the beginning. When God spoke creation into being in Genesis, God said, let there be light. Creation is sustained through Christ. We are reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus, the living word, who died for us. If you flick back a few chapters in Hebrews, the writer tells us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's Hebrews 1 verse 3. So creation is sustained through Christ by his powerful word. And creation is renewed through Christ. We can have hope for the future because Jesus, the living word, rose from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So it is the person and work of Jesus Christ, the eternal word of God, which creates, sustains, and renews. I hope you're feeling excited about God's word. I'm excited for God's word. I'm hungry for God's word, for transformation in my life, in our community, and in our world. I want all these things for us. I want hope. I want to share in the creative, sustaining, renewing work of Jesus, the eternal, living word. God's word is good, very good. But it comes with a warning as well as a promise. Sometimes the things which are good for us are uncomfortable or even unwelcome. Sometimes treatment and healing are painful. Open heart surgery can be life-saving, but it hurts. And God's word is in the business of doing open heart surgery. This morning, our Bible reading is about the importance of spending time in God's written word, the Bible, and with God's living word, Jesus. The Bible as we have it now didn't exist at the time Hebrews was written. The word of God would have been just the Old Testament scriptures and the good news of Jesus, the good news message. So God's written word, the Old Testament scriptures, and God's living word, Jesus. That's what's in view in these verses as they speak about God's word. So first, the warning. God's word is sharp. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word judges. We may be okay with God's word judging others, but when it comes to ourselves, judgment can feel very uncomfortable. It's easy to be aligned with God when the desires of our hearts are aligned with God's heart. But the nature of God's word is that it's transformative, and I was saying how I want that transformation in my life and in our community and in the world. But the nature of God's word being transformative means that sometimes it's going to challenge us. The change we long to see in our lives, in our community, in the world, won't happen by God aligning himself with our hearts. It will only happen when we align our hearts with God's heart. And how do we know God's heart? Through his word. It would be a bit like going to the doctor with a problem and then complaining if they actually diagnosed it. If our doctors always told us we were fine, whatever our symptoms, we'd never receive treatment and healing. God's word judges. We might be okay with judgment for other people, but it can feel very uncomfortable when judgment is for ourselves. If you've been here over the summer, you might have heard some or all of the sermons in our series on Jonah. Jonah wanted God's grace and mercy for himself, but not for the people of Nineveh. He wanted judgment for Nineveh, but he didn't want judgment for himself. And I think our hearts are, certainly at times, can be like Jonah's heart. Jonah had disobeyed God. He'd put his ways above God's ways by fleeing to Tarshish instead of heading to Nineveh. And in that sense was no better than the people of Nineveh. But he wanted judgment for them and not for himself. When Jonah finally goes, he goes begrudgingly. And so he's grumpy outside the city when they respond to his warning and receive God's mercy. God's word judges, not just what's on the outside, the actions that others see, but what's on the inside, our hearts. X-rays and scans diagnose things that can't be seen. And if we want treatment and healing, surely we need a diagnosis. God's word judges. And what's more, we're told we can't escape God's judgment. Verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, and everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And actually the translation here doesn't quite capture the strength of the language that's used in the original Greek. It's about being completely exposed. God sees the state of our hearts. God's word is like a bright, shining light. So that's the warning. God's word is sharp. It penetrates and it judges. God's word is in the business of open heart surgery. What about the promise? Well, that kind of comes with the open heart surgery analogy. The promise is that when we invite Jesus into our hearts, we don't need to be afraid of his judgment. When we spend time in the written word, the Bible, and with Jesus, the living word, our hearts become more like God's heart. God's truths minister to our fears. God's character rubs off on us. God does his transforming work, cleansing, healing, ministering his grace. So yes, God's word judges, and we can rest in Jesus when we invite him into our hearts. God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ, is comfort for the brokenhearted and freedom for the captives. You can read those words in Isaiah. But these things are not possible, when you think about it, without God seeing the state of our hearts, the ways in which we're broken and weak, the pain we carry, the fears and habits which enslave us. So we want comfort for the brokenhearted and we want release for the captives. But that's not possible unless God can see the condition of our hearts and break in and minister his healing love to us. The context of the letter to Hebrews is of Jewish Christians experiencing extreme, like really extreme, horrific persecution, probably under Emperor Nero. They're feeling that Christianity is about to be defeated and considering abandoning their faith. The Apostle Paul has been beheaded. And so in that context, this verse makes a lot more sense. God's word is a much sharper sword. Paul might have been beheaded by the sword, but God's word is a much sharper sword. It is alive and active, and nothing can get in its way. In this context, God's word as a penetrating, judging sword is surely good news. Reformation theologian Martin Luther is recorded as having said, when Jesus Christ utters a word, he opens his mouth so wide that it embraces all heaven and earth, even though that word be but in a whisper. The word of the emperor is powerful, but that of Jesus Christ governs the universe. It is my experience that when I am feeling defeated, God's word and God's word alone brings hope, brings sustenance. Wrongs will be judged and renewal will come because it is Christ who creates, sustains, renews. Reading the Bible enables me to claim God's promises even when I'm not feeling them. Christianity isn't about feeling it all the time. Christianity is about claiming God's truth when you're up against it, when you feel like defeat might be there, remembering that God's word is more powerful than any sword. If you're here this morning and you don't own a Bible or have never read the Bible or don't know where to start with reading the Bible, I'd really love to help you with that. And I'd love to, I did put some over here. I'd love to give you a Bible. So there are some of these around church. Do you help yourself to one of these? If starting with the whole Bible feels a bit daunting, these are new today. This is just the New Testament, Ancient Wisdom for New Life. And there are some on the tables at the entrances. But please do speak to me and I'd love to help you get started. I really, truly believe that God's penetrating, judging word is what brings transformation and healing, which I think is what all of us seek for ourselves, for our community, for our world. If I had gathered all the church Bibles up and put them in the display at the front alongside the, what do you say it was called, Cheryl? The Hercules beetle. If I'd gathered all of the Bibles up and I'd put them in this display alongside the silk moth and the Hercules beetle and the cheetah, I'm not sure I would have been too popular with the wardens, and I almost certainly would have received some questions. Why have you ruined our beautiful display by stacking up a load of Bibles around it? To which my reply would have been, because God's word is alive and active. We've got a display that's about creation. And I think sometimes we think of the Bible as this kind of history book, and then creation as this beautiful, awe-inspiring thing. But God's word, it's alive and active. Hopefully you get the idea. And so my prayer for all of us is that we would let the written word and Jesus Christ, the eternal living word, bring us life and reveal the goodness and glory of God to us. Amen.